Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
All right, welcome back to the Handmade Podcast, episode 45. Happy anniversary, boys.
Thank you.
It's been 1 year of the Handmade Podcast.
I can't believe that.
I should follow on Instagram. It says, "Darling, I'm horny. Do you want to call me?"
Oh, nice. Thought it was my Maybe wife. They want to be a guest on the episode.
Yeah, I think I could get them to be on it. I don't understand those people that do that. It's like, what do they get out of that?
Whatever. They listen, if they hit up 2,000 people and they get one sucker,
yeah,
that's enough.
Right. Have you ever seen the YouTube
info?
send them Jimmy's. Give them Jimmy's phone number. That could be your NFT, Derek. It's just Jimmy's phone number and like the last like.
Oh my god, dude! You know someone would pay $10,000 for that.
The girl up at Jimmy's house. He's like, oh, she needed a place to stay, so she's living upstairs.
His business card had his cell phone number on it. It's probably still, I don't know if he still gives out cards, but I know he used to post photos of it on like his Instagram. And I'd be God, you're giving out your cell phone number. Like,
no, it's funny. It's just last week we were talking about it. He's like, oh yeah, I took all that offline.
Oh, says, good. It's gone forever.
Yeah. That's what I said. I said, I guarantee you Google him and his address will come up and sure as shit. Somebody Googled
That's how I found the first time I went up to his house, because I remember one of you guys saying, oh, he has it, it's online. I'm like, what do you mean it's online? And I type in Jimmy DiResta or something, his freaking address pops up as like a Facebook, like a business. I'm like,
well,
oh
he
my
used
god
to
this
do
guy
that when they used to do like the house rental yeah. You could find it, there was a website and everything. Remember he showed it to me once.
I'm like, wow.
Dude, when people call my – anytime someone calls my cell phone and they – because they found me on YouTube, I always ask them, how'd you get my number? And they're like, oh, I found it online. And I thought I had gotten every trace of it, like, gone forever, but apparently not.
Yeah. It's funny. Somebody just emailed me. I was like, how'd they get my email? I forgot it's on my Instagram. But so funny, too. He's such an animal on the show. He wears like the same clothes every day, and they're like,
because they want him to, or because he doesn't want to wash them.
Both. It's like just for editing, they're like, oh, it'd be easy. But then it's like, he's like, yeah, I haven't changed since yesterday. Anyways, <It's> like, he just worked all night and wore the same thing.
That's a big violation in my house. I got strict procedures.
Yeah.
For the work clothes. Strict.
Your clothes all like coded for what day of the week they are, so she knows if you're lying or not? Or...
No, but I'm trying to think if she. There's been times where I went and got a pair of pants, like, because I didn't have any other ones, where I went and got a pair of pants that I wore the day before, but like I sneak them so I don't get in trouble.
It's funny. Christine is so crazy about laundry. I get home Friday night and like the same clothes I had were like clean Saturday. I was like, oh, God. She lives for her laundry. That's all she does. She She loves her laundry, doing it. But that's one thing I miss being up here, having to do laundry myself.
Yeah.
Sucks, but whatever. But what have you guys been up to?
Just working on stuff. Paul's got a good thing that he's been finishing up. Why don't we talk about Paul's new project? This is to keep the weirdos out, right?
Exactly. That's why I built so strong.
He's so welcoming.
I'm fighting these people off every day.
Your shop is so far, like, deep. I feel like even if somebody found it, they'd be like, oh, I can't be back here.
Yeah, every time I've ever been there, I've been like,
did I make the wrong turn? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it'd be hard to find. But I'm making, I'm sure some people have seen it on Instagram, a new shop door, new front door for the shop. And it's really big and really heavy, and it's made out of quarter-inch plate and then eighth-inch plate on the back, and there's a frame inside of it. But then I have, like, all these TC bolts, which we've talked about before. The bolts, one type of bolt you could use for structural steel, and they have, like, kind of a rounded head. So they look like big rivets. And I have those going all the way around the door with, like, a trim piece of plate also. And there's, like, a whole, like, big wheel that I got from McMaster Car and gears and stuff to lock it. And I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain. You have to go look at it to see what I'm talking about. But
have you added up the cost of this door yet?
No. It's probably pretty expensive.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, the hinges and the gears and stuff and the wheel might have been like, I don't know, like $300.
No, that's not too
bad. And then the plate I get might be like a couple hundred dollars in plate. The bolts are probably pretty expensive. Everything's gone way up. The steel prices have gone up. So
crazy, right?
The plate is like twice as much as it would have cost me like 9 months or 6 months ago.
The door is $1,500 anyway, so.
Yeah.
Got a regular door. But I look at that thing and, like, I always tell people, like, I used to hate, the two jobs I would always hate getting is hanging a door and doing stairs. Because it's just, like, hanging a door, it's just, they're so expensive, and if you screw it up, you can't, like, fix it. It's, like, screwed up, you know? And I'm just looking at that thing saying, man, I wouldn't want to hang that door. That's just a pain in the ass, you know? Just, that's a heavy door.
Well, you're going to make its own jam, right? So it'll be self-correcting.
Exactly.
As long as the jam is good, you basically just...
Yeah.
Dude, it's so funny, though, because I'm thinking about your building is just a corrugated steel building.
Yeah, that's
if you
the
swing
thing.
That thing shut hard enough, you're going to take
Oh,
the
I can't.
Down.
I'm not doing that. I'm anchoring it into the ground with a whole big frame and a plate.
Yeah, yeah, so the building could blow down and the door would
Yeah, the door will be, yeah, if there was a tornado, it would just be just a door.
Yeah, there's no way you could mount that. That thing would fall right
No,
up.
There is cinder block going like 4 feet up all the way around, but it's like, not. They didn't fill it, it's just hollow. It's, you know, that's no good either. I might even fill a little bit of that.
I wouldn't chance that.
It's going to be interesting. Me and Fred are going to be... Yeah. Me, Fred, and Louie. Louie already told me he would help, too. But...
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
Cool, though.
Thank you. Yeah. Making a video.
Yeah, it's nice. It's awesome. Oh, that's for Avid, right?
Yeah. Avid and Faird. That's pretty much who all my videos are for. Nice. Just Avid and Faird.
Yeah, those are your people.
I love that freaking CNC,
How's
though.
How's the truck working out? You've been using the truck a lot?
The truck, yeah. I use it all the time.
I think, for some reason, Paul, you're getting my audio way late.
Oh, really?
Derek.
Oh, I heard myself and yours.
How are you getting mine?
Yeah, same thing. I'm getting it way late, too.
Interesting. It's We don't usually have that issue.
Derek, do you hear me? Truck.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Me and Derek are on the same speed.
No, I don't think so. Uh-oh.
What the hell?
Anyway, we'll just keep going. Episode 45. This is, you know, there'll be a little bit of a...
Stop it and stop it.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the door came out awesome, Paul. And how's the... while we're on the topic of your shop, we got a new tool. Or did you have that new tool last week?
Oh, I forget. I think I talked about it last week.
Yeah.
We beat it out of him. He didn't want to talk about it, but
we beat it out of him. Well, now he's got the door to keep somebody from stealing it.
Exactly.
You know, so.
I need to keep the place secure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be easier to break in through the side of the building than it would be through the door. Like, you know.
Yeah, like Jimmy's. You could just crawl under it.
Yeah.
That's what I think about my shop, where, like, I remember when I first moved in, people were like, oh, you got to put bars on the windows. I'm like, why? I'm like, if somebody wants, like, my lathe, like, they'd have to, like it's so difficult for them to get it out. It's fine. Like,
No one's stealing your lathe. They're going to steal all your hand tools and shit.
But, like, those aren't that valuable. You got
$20,000 in Milwaukee shit alone.
That's true. But, I mean, like, you'd have to be there for a while. You know, like, it's not like you're going to run in and grab one high-value thing. You'd have to, like, be there, like, loading up a truck, you know?
Yeah. If the right person walks by, I'll see I'll see a bunch of Milwaukee stuff up for sale on Craigslist in the Bronx in about three days from now.
We got a bunch of Milwaukee stuff.
I see that.
Which is nice. It looks so cool. I love that.
It's good stuff.
Crescent sent us a lot of nice stuff, too, and they sent these knives. These knives.
Oh, that's cool.
The falling knives? Oh, that's a nice shape.
That's a nice knife.
I know. They didn't have prices on them, but I bet it's probably like $20 in the store.
It's got to be. It might be more than that.
It might be like 40. But yeah, but they're just like, you know. They're
I can't tell. Maybe they're shittier than they look. It looks really nice.
Yeah, no, they look really nice. Yeah, they look really nice. But I'm sure like the price point on them is really cheap, so people will buy them.
Yeah, yeah.
But $18.
Oh, wow.
$18. Yeah, they sent us a bunch of nice stuff.
I gave up on trying to carry
a knife like that. Let them be disposable, you know, because then it's like you can just, you know.
Yeah, I gave up on a regular knife. I just carry razor blade, like the little foldable Husky razor blade that I leave. I have like 10 of them floating around. And I just leave them everywhere. And I pick one up when I see one, and then I'll leave that one somewhere again.
Well, that's what I started carrying this one because I don't like carrying my good one that Jimmy gave me. And then I'm thinking, like, what am I going to save that out? Like, if I go into, like, a tough neighborhood that I'm going to get a knife fight, like a good knife fight or something.
You got to kill a grizzly bear?
You know, but it's like, I don't know. But I like this other one. It's nice.
I carry that one that I made, and I've been carrying it for, like, four years. And I actually, nice I lost it. I lost it, this one. I lost it when I was doing the gate. I dropped it in the leaves, and I found it about a week later. It sat outside in the rain, and it's still...
I heard you talking about that. That's the one you lost? I thought it was something else.
No, I lost this. I was so upset. I was going to say,
you must have been devastated.
I was just, like, pissed because I like, it'd be one thing if it just vanished, you know? But I remember I used it the day I was there, and then it was in the fall, so there were, like, wet leaves everywhere, and it's brown and black. So I dropped it, and I remembered, like, I knew I had put it down or dropped it, but I couldn't find it. And I thought maybe I dropped it on the curb, like in the gutter, and then it would have kind of rolled down the hill. It's also a super busy street, so lots of people walk by the street. And I was like, somebody would definitely pick it up. And then I found it. I was very happy.
Nice. Yeah. But what else? Are you working on anything?
Me? I just finished the bike racks. The bike racks are done.
Those look great. That powder coating.
Mm-hmm. What'd you say, Derek?
Are they installed and everything?
No, we've had nothing but horrific weather for the last like 3 days. Yeah. So it's like I'm gonna PL them to the sidewalk because I don't want them to get stolen. Yeah. So I want the ground to be pretty dry. I'm also using like stainless steel security bolts so they don't get stolen that are all countersunk. So I was talking to Macklin about it the other day. I'm considering. When I install them, I made the countersinks a little deep. I'm thinking about gluing a stainless steel disc over the heads of the screws so that when you walk by, there's just, like, no screw head. Like, if you look down at them and thought, like, oh, I'm going to take that hardware out, you'd be like, how do I even do it, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, if somebody wants them, they're going to get them, but I'm just trying to make it as difficult as possible because I think they're going to be, like, a hot item down where they're going. You know, they're going to like a little beach community, a lot of foot traffic, so everybody seems to like them, which is great.
You know, the weather's been so shitty, hasn't it been?
Oh, what a terrible Memorial Day
it feels
weekend.
Like November.
I know. So miserable. It's so funny because everybody on the show, they're from California.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, sucks. Thank God. It's so warm out. It's going to be nice. I'm like, oh, we'll get cold weather again. They're like, no.
Yeah.
I go, don't be surprised if it's 50 degrees out. Guys, like, it's going to be 45 on Saturday. This was last Wednesday. It was 90 out. I'm like, yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
But just it is. It's been so miserable.
That's it. I've been busy doing that kind of stuff, just like finishing up the bike racks. I got a couple little projects coming up. I've been trying to get the shop like a little organized. It's the same story. Like you blast through like five projects and then, you know, it kind of stops you, you know, and it places a mess and then I got to clean it up. But so far, I feel like once I get started on these next couple of things, I can get right back into the swing of it.
I tell you, it's been a nightmare. When I went home this weekend, I forgot like that my shop was a disaster.
Oh no!
And I just went down there. It was like, oh fuck! It just like it was so bad. But I picked it up pretty good. But it's like I really, when I get home, I'm gonna spend a month cleaning that whole place out. I'm really gonna have to, just to get that dust collector in there and stuff like that, and that extractor. I'm just gonna have to spend some serious time.
Do you bring the K-Pex home or no? You left.
No,
it?
I was gonna, but I just didn't have time to get it on Friday. So I figured I got rid of the chop saw and the stand and everything, and you know somebody got a good deal on it. But I just wanted it gone. You know, I just didn't want to deal with it, and you know it worked out good. It ended up being like the K-Pex was a wash, so it worked out good.
Oh, that's great.
You know? Yeah. So. But I'm looking forward to getting that stuff, you know. I'm looking forward to just getting home eventually, you know. It's just like it seems like I've been here, you know, forever, and, you know, we're just not even like halfway through, you know.
I was just going to say, I was just thinking about the time.
You got two more months.
Yeah, we just finished. Tomorrow we'll finish the third episode.
And there's eight?
Hold on. We did that. This will be the fourth. We did three. This will be the fourth episode, but we're not done with it. So halfway.
Nice.
Yeah.
And when did you get there again? I forget the date.
April 19th.
April.
Yeah. So.
Oh, okay.
So April 19th.
So you've only been there like 5 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been 5.5 weeks I've been here. So
nice.
Yeah, so I've been gone for that long. I went home. I was supposed to go home next weekend, but went home this weekend, got my beard trimmed. I was happy about that. Next weekend, Max is graduating high school, so I got to go home for that.
Very exciting.
And that's it, you know. So
nice.
But, yeah, it's just funny. The time and the days go by so fast up here. It's just amazing.
Oh, I bet.
Someone's getting yelled at.
The dog's getting yelled at.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the dog's misbehaving.
Yeah.
One of the kids. Every time I've gone and spent, like, an extended period of time up there, it just, like, when you're working on those kind of projects, it, like, goes by in a second, you know?
Yeah, it is. And it's, like, I'm trying to enjoy it. It's, like, it's hard being away from the family and stuff and, you know, but I'm trying to just enjoy it as much as I can because, you know, once it's over, you know, hopefully it'll happen again. But if it doesn't, you know, it's just been a great opportunity and experience. So I'm trying to have fun with it, but it is hard sometimes, you know, because it is, you know, tiring. It was nice to sleep in my own bed last night.
Yeah.
You know, it just, you know, it's nice to be home, but it is fun being here. Like I was saying to Chris before you got on, Paul, it's like... It's nice not working, you know. I mean, this is work, but it's not like work, you know. So it's just nice to do whatever you want. You
know? It's a different, it's a totally, well, the other thing too is I was thinking about this before is like, you know, what you guys are doing, right? Like the stuff that you're making, it's all you have to, not to understate it, but you just have to make it. You don't have to worry about filming it or editing it or producing it. So it's like, it's the best job you've ever had, right? Like,
yeah.
It's funny because when I years ago I was working with a lighting company that I was going to be a partner in, and never it didn't work out, but I worked there for probably 4 or 5 months, and I remember it was like I never felt like I was at work. Mm-hmm. But somebody just paid me every week because my like to be partner ran, it was his company that I was buying into. So he like managed the sales and the books and all that shit. I just like had to show up. I ran the shop and I managed all the employees, but that part was easy, you know, and it never felt like I was at work, but I just kept getting paid. Yeah. You know, things change when you have to run your own business and you have to be the one getting the work, but it's still fun.
Oh yeah, it is. It's just we have a lot of laughs during the day, and it's just it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So it's not a bad way to make a living.
Yeah, you know? Probably the best way to make a living.
Oh, I'll tell you, it is. It's just I'm just really am lucky, and it was funny because, you know, last week we were discussing that, and like the next day I was like, you know, I'm gonna try to be grateful like all day. And that's the day I dropped my iced coffee and spilt everywhere, and I was bitching about that. And I was like, maybe I'm just not cut out to be positive all the time, you know? But I try, you know? So, but no, it's fun. It's fun. So, uh-oh. Chris loses cat.
Oh, my God, dude.
I'm teaching Angela how to install a... No, Angela is... working on some stuff for our wedding, and I just taught her how to install a font from... You guys use dafont.com?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
It's like the
place. No, but I need to because I always try and find fonts. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't even know how to do that. So after you teach Angela, you got to teach me.
Dude,
every time I try...
Well, it depends. Dafont is, like, great. It's amazing. There's probably... I don't know. There's got to be 100,000 fonts. I'm sorry. There's 58,000 fonts on there.
Oh, my God.
But some of them are... Some of them are for personal use. Some of them are for commercial use. So, like, if it's just for you for a thing that you're making, like, you can use any of them, right?
Oh, okay.
It's been great. Like, you know, we make a couple things for the wedding, and what's nice is you can type in a word, and then it'll preview the fonts in those words. So you can just, like, quickly, you know, like, if you need to make, you know, if you wanted to make a sign that said, you know, Fairfield Steelworks, you could type that in and then scroll through the fonts and preview it. You know, preview those that text in all those different fonts.
That's one thing I never understood is, like, how that all works. I remember being, like, I open up a program and I don't have a font I need. And everybody's like, oh, it's not on your computer. It's like, isn't it part of the program? And then I'll go to download it, and I'll download it, and it's just, like, I don't even know how it gets on my computer. Like,
that's my problem. I'll go on these font websites. I'll find something I like. I hit download. Yeah. I always think there's going to be like a virus downloaded to my computer. And then I can never find it after that, and I give up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to, once you download it, the Mac makes it super easy. As soon as you open the font file, which is like an OTF, or there's a couple different font files, your computer knows to open an application on your computer called Fontbook, which is on every Mac.
My computer doesn't know that.
It does. If you open up the Fontbook app on your Mac, you can click import. You
I'm
know,
looking
and
up Fontbook
just,
right now.
It's on there.
It's on here?
Fontbook. It's an app on your Mac.
Oh, shit. I've never seen that in my life.
And there's all your fonts.
I bet there's like 8 fonts in here. Oh, my God. Shit that I've tried to download. Here they are.
Yep.
These are literally what I've tried
to
download.
You can validate them, which like means like, because sometimes they'll be like, you know, they'll be made on a Linux computer or something, and they don't work correctly.
So funny.
And then usually your programs will find them. And I've noticed like Angela's working in Microsoft Word right now. You have to restart Microsoft Word, and then the fonts will be there. But you know, yeah, it's great.
That drives me crazy. See, you learn something new every day.
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice if when you need like that specific one, or like if you're trying to recreate like a logo, you can usually Google, like, you know, I remember one time somebody had a Cadillac Escalade and they wanted to put their initials on the back of it in the same font, like, you know, where it says like, you know, Escalade, the word. they wanted like their three initials on the rear of the truck. So my friend who has a detailing shop, I found the Escalade font and then made it in Google SketchUp. I 3D printed each letter. They bondoed the letters to make them perfectly smooth, and then they painted them and they stuck them to the back of the car, and it looked like, you know, looked perfect.
Do you know, it's so funny you'd bring that up. Do you know the Cadillac font isn't a font?
What is it?
The Cadillac. It's just, it's...
somebody wrote it?
I was telling this. Yeah, it's a graphic. There's no font. I imagine somebody's made it one out of it or something. But yeah, the Cadillac logo isn't a font. It's just something somebody had made up.
Interesting.
For their cars, yeah.
That's interesting.
If that's not true, do not message me. Message Bernie Solo. It works by Solo because he's the one that's full of shit, not me. So
yeah,
that's where I got my information.
Please do not.
So you can yell at him. So that's that.
Yeah. So Derek, you don't have any new tools this week except for the saw that we talked about last week.
Yeah, just the Capex and the dust collector. I'm trying to think. Did I buy something else? No, because I didn't. I almost went to the store today and bought something. I'm like, what the hell am I thinking? It's just such a sickness. Can you imagine, like, what a jerk. I go home. First, I'm in the shop. I didn't want to post anything, me being in the shop, because I was like a picture of people saying, he's been gone for 5 weeks, and he goes home, and he's, like, right in the shop. That's why I went down there, like 1 a.m, just to make sure it was okay. Like, I didn't post that. I acted like I went down the next day for the first time.
Oh, yeah,
right. I was just like, it's so bad. But no, nothing new for me. How about you?
I was talking to Macklin today. I have money in my PayPal account right now because one of my customers paid me in PayPal. It was
you gotta spend it.
So I've just been buying shit on eBay. Yeah. So this is two things that I got. Both one of them is coming from Japan, and one of them is just a Chinese thing. God. But do you know what a chain mortiser is?
No.
You know, yeah, and I know you probably don't need one.
I definitely don't. So a chain mortiser is a timber framing tool. It's like a chisel mortiser, but it uses a chainsaw plunge it in, and then it tips sideways.
I thought you had
one
of those.
Again. No, I don't. I used one in Vermont, and they're super expensive in the States if you buy them from, like, there's only a couple companies that make them. But there's probably there's hundreds of them for sale on eBay, all from Japan. And every once in a while I go on and I kind of look and I see if I can like get one for a good deal. You know, they're all about like $500. They range between like 400 to like, you know, 700 used, and then brand new they're like $1,600 to $3,000. So I went on today and I saw one that was like, I think I paid like $200 for it from Japan with free shipping. And I was like, we'll see. You know, like, I'll just order it and see, like, if it's good. The guy's got good reviews, and he's got, like, 40 other chain mortisers. So,
he's a chain mortiser salesman.
Dude, these guys, I think in Japan, they must be kind of cheap, because, like, to ship them from Japan for free and only charge $400 seems, like, crazy to me. So I don't know. I mean, who knows? It's eBay, so I feel like I'm totally protected, right? Even if I get the thing and I don't like it, eBay is going to side with me as the buyer. So I bought one of those. And then the other thing I got is, do you remember when we were at the Makers Camp last year? There were those little anvils that the guys from Abana were selling, those little 60-pound, like kind of looks like a pig anvil with a tapered back.
No.
Do you guys remember seeing those?
Yes, I remember that.
So there's these anvils that the Abana guys, they buy them and then they resell them. They're 66 pounds.
Please tell me you didn't buy one.
Well, let me finish. Okay. They're 66 pounds.
You okay, Paul?
And they're like 100 and they're like, I think they're $140 on eBay. So this kid that is friends with Macklin wanted to get into blacksmithing. He wanted to buy an anvil. I told him, like, you know, if you're going to buy like an American anvil, you're going to spend probably like minimum $400, right? Like, I feel like you can't get a good anvil for $400. And he's like, I really just want to get started. So he was going to buy the Harbor Freight anvil. And I was like, dude, if you're going to buy a Chinese anvil, at least get this one because I've seen it in person and it's got like 90% rebound. They're pretty good little anvils for $140. So when I was going to send him the link, I noticed that they have a 135-pound version of that anvil that I've never seen before. And it's $300 for a 135-pound like kind of dual horn anvil. So I bought myself one of those.
Oh, yeah, it's a nice, like, a good old dual horn.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like kind of looks like a pig anvil, you know?
This is a person who has five anvils already and literally has never used one of them.
Yeah, yeah. I don't need
and five anvils, some of them are like 400 pound. Like, it's just...
I have a 400 pound one.
Ew.
I used it one's the other day.
Doesn't have a horn. He's got a he's got a dual horn and he's got a no horn anvil.
Hold on, I'm going to send it
That's
to you.
Crazy this kid is.
So, well, but see, this is my scheme, right? And everybody knows the scheme. I just bought a 130 pound anvil brand new for $300. So you know I'm going to promote it on my Instagram.
Yeah, he's got his little Amazon scheme.
And then I'll get my commission. But dude, if you wanted a 130 pound anvil, $300 is cheap. Lucas just spent almost $700 on the same weight anvil. You know? So, you know. Yeah, anvils.
It's a good deal.
It's a great deal.
It's better than an NFT.
You know
Yeah.
It's definitely better
totally
money than
pieces
NFT.
Of shit. I mean,
well, what was crazy was that the Abana guys, I think, were selling those 66-pound ones for $300. And they were buying them for, like, $120. Mm-hmm. And
bastards.
Everybody was giving them shit because they were like, how are you guys going to sell this Chinese, like, garbage anvil? And they were like, no, it's heat-treated steel. It's, you know, it's this, it's that. So, I don't know. We'll see.
So and what's your plan with this one, Chris?
Nothing. I know plans.
Just to sit on the floor.
Just to have it. Why not? Who cares?
There's something else to trip over.
Just one more thing. Listen, if
see, it's funny. Like Andrew collects, like everything Andrew collects is like, is like there's something
valuable.
To it. It's valuable. Yeah. It's old. It's an antique. It's rare. Chris just collects Chinese products. Just garbage Chinese products. That's what Chris collects.
Dude, maybe I work
any
for
type
the,
of Chinese shit.
Maybe
yeah.
I'm making a. Maybe I want to make a museum. I don't have a lot. I don't have a lot of Chinese shit that I don't like use to its full extent.
I didn't say you don't use it, but it's mostly.
But
it's
like,
mostly
you know,
Chinese. Like, to Chris, five Chinese things is better than one American thing.
It depends.
If he can get five things for the price of one.
Mm-hmm. Listen, if it at the end of the day, I have bought the like really good shit, like high end good shit that has broken just as fast as the cheap shit that I've bought. So, like that little beveling tool, it's $70. It's no different than the one that Trick Tools sells for $200. It's literally the same
tool.
You know?
I mean, yeah, the one they're getting is probably just from the same factory.
Yeah,
they
just
put a bigger price tag on it. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know.
But then, like, on the other hand, like, you if you want, like, a legit one, it's, like, probably $1,800 or something, right?
Yeah,
for those really
exactly.
expensive ones. So it's like, who the hell's going to buy that? Like, that type of stuff, it totally, like, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. It totally makes sense.
There's actually one on Trick Tools, the B2 Air Deburring System, $525.
Hmm. Is it, like, almost the same thing?
Dude, it looks identical.
Wow.
cannot imagine a scenario where it is like almost 10 times better. You know, cuz what's
yeah,
good about
it's
it?
Yeah, it's definitely
though,
not.
It's the inserts, right? If the inserts on it are garbage, you know? I mean, and you know, it's like let's see, where is it made? Made in Japan.
Hmm.
So, I mean, that's nice, I guess.
It's funny, I was talking to Cliff Dufton the other day and he was talking about his Chinese
his tapper.
Tapper, yeah. And mm-hmm. He loves it.
Dude, that thing is
he
crazy.
He loves it.
I think we talked about that on here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to him the other day about it too, and he was like, dude, he's like, as long as it doesn't burn out, he's like, it was an amazing purchase. That same one from Flex Tools, like $10,000.
Yeah. It's funny because we were talking about he was talking about getting a laser.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to buy one through an American company. And I'm like, it's the same laser. You know, they just offer support, you
mm-hmm.
know. So if you want to deal with the bullshit, you know, you cut them out. But it just, you know, it is. It's just crazy, the stuff they sell, the price, you know, but it does all just fall apart eventually. But
speaking of Flex Arm, did you see Petty Welding's, this crazy thing he kind of bought from them? It's a Flex Arm that holds a grinder, an angle grinder.
No, I didn't see it on his Instagram.
Go on his Instagram. He built like a little stand for it and has a Flex Arm with this crazy like gimbal mount thing to hold a 6-inch Metabo grinder to take it. Basically, the grinder just floats in the air wherever you want it.
Wow.
So it takes the strain. Like if you have a bunch of parts to grind, it kind of takes all the strain off you if you're grinding for hours. It was pretty cool.
Oh, wow, that's funny.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah,
I've never seen that before.
I've never seen anything like it before.
That's
that
like,
guy's always got cool stuff.
Yeah, you ever seen those like? That's like one of those like exo suits.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah, you're
like,
right.
Make them for like the. I don't know that those are actually like anywhere out in the field, but they make it so that you can carry like a 300-pound thing.
Yeah,
that's what the camera guys have.
Yeah.
I'll use a camera term.
Well,
this guy's away. This guy's Hollywood now. Everything's got to go back to the TV show.
The DP. The DP.
DP director of photography.
You got it. He always has one. It's funny because his pants are always falling down. And the first time I put it on, I go, I thought that was to hold your pants up, dude. You know, it's got like the big arm over his head, and it's got like the cord for the camera. So like the camera's not heavy.
I just
tried one of those cameras the other day. Because, we're just bullshitting. And the guy's like, here, try this camera on your shoulder. Those things are so heavy. And it's amazing because they're light compared to, like, the old style ones.
Mm.
But it's just, that's just a lot of weight those dudes carry. And, it's just a lot the way they, the way they have to hold them and all that stuff. I wouldn't want to lug one of those all day.
Speaking of cameras, don't some... And real film buffs will know this. I think even some like modern day directors and stuff still use film camera. Like, is it Quentin Tarantino that still uses film or something for all his movies?
Probably.
I think so.
They were just talking about him, and they were talking about how a lot of his shots are rushed because of that, because he uses film.
They're rushed.
I don't know if that. Yeah.
Oh, because
yeah, like
he's worried about.
Using a lot of film. Yeah.
Really?
That chair just fucking broke. Huh. This chair's a piece of shit. But we were talking about different styles, and I'm like, I would never notice anything like that. So they were showing one of his films, and I forget which one it was, but they were just showing, like, the different shots. And a couple of them you could see where, I mean, it's obvious, like, the shot was in, centered or whatever, and they just kind of, instead of doing another take, they kept it. And they're like, yeah, probably because he didn't want to waste film. So maybe it is him.
Huh.
I'm not a big movie buff. I'm on the other side of the lens.
I should watch more movies.
Unbelievable.
Fucking asshole.
Unbelievable.
There's this guy. I just realized what you said. I wasn't paying attention, then I realized what you said.
How do those headphones fit over that thing?
Oh, my God.
That's what I said to my wife. I better hope this goes no exactly.
Oh, my God.
This asshole that ever lived. But, yeah. Remind me to tell you a story later.
Oh, the after show.
For the after show. They got to get their money's worth, you know? But.
That's so funny.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So. No, I never notice any of that stuff in movies. I don't watch movies to begin with, but it's like, I don't know. It's just, I just watch it. It is what it is. I can't critique that type of stuff. I don't have that kind of eye.
I just watched this movie, Tenet. You guys
seen
that Christopher
Denzel?
Nolan movie? No, Denzel's not in that.
Wait, which movie is he in? I thought he was in a movie. Never mind.
I can tell you I didn't see it because I haven't watched a movie since friggin'
Collector,
I think.
I watched it on the plane. I had to go to Florida this week for work. Mm-hmm. I watched it on the plane. It's almost like I don't want to call it a sci-fi movie. It's a very interesting kind of take on like a crime sort of thriller. It's about like a CIA guy who can like go back in time and forward in time and I don't know. It was a really like a psychological thriller type of movie, and it was the type of movie where after it was over, I was like, I had to go on YouTube and watch videos explaining it, and then normally that would be like a huge turnoff, and I'd be like, this is just like not worth my energy, but it was so interesting to me that I wound up like basically going back and watching the whole movie a second time. I don't know. It was I don't know. I thought I was into it.
Well, they you know, Graz and like the director, whoever, they'll talk about movies a lot because that's like they love that shit. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, call it ignorance or whatever, but I always thought everything was just like filmed and then they edited it, and if it didn't work right, they just somehow magically with a computer like fixed it, you know, and not realizing like the work that goes into like certain shots and stuff like that.
Mm.
And it really is like, when you look at it from a different way, it's amazing the work that goes into it to like shoot things, you know, like they use a lot of times, I think they call it like it's like a snorkel lens. I mentioned it before. It's like a telescope.
Oh, the little tube one.
Yeah, it's like a tube, and like they'll bring it through tools and through things we're working on. So it'll be like, it's like going into little spaces. And like, I would have thought like that was just somebody zooming in, you know, not realizing that's actually like a 2 foot, 3 foot long camera lens going through things, you know, like just to take different, you know, shots and stuff.
Does
like
Jocko have one of those? I think I've seen him use one of those.
Yeah, he does. He got might. One.
But, you know, and then everything just like sped up and slowed down. I always thought it was just like, you know, iMovie, just, you know, increase the speed, you know, but, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot that you have to do, you know, to get certain shots and stuff. So, but yeah, it's still not my thing though.
I was with Anthony, the ramp kid, the BMX kid, the other day, and he just upgraded his camera. He got the Sony A7S3. It's a mirrorless camera, and he was telling me, he's like, dude, you gotta like get one of these. And I've been thinking about getting a new like a mirrorless camera, and I like the Canon cameras. I've always had them, but the Sony's like for the video kind of stuff that I do and that we do. I mean, he was showing me this. The quality of the footage from this camera is unbelievable.
Yeah, and I think the Sony's are really good. Like,
the autofocus is unreal, like so fast, and just the general quality. And it's an investment. I mean, it's like I think the body is like $4,000, and then you got to get these like the lenses are called the G series. That's like the good lenses, like the L lenses in the Canon world.
Yeah,
and I think all in with like two lenses and the body, I like was at like close to $8,000, and I was like, damn, like
business expense.
It's kind of hard to
sell that Doge.
Spend $8,000. Yeah, I know. Believe me, there's a lot of things I could do if I sold the Doge.
It's funny you said that, because when I bought my Canon, I wanted to get a Sony, and it's just like you said. The guy was saying, you know, for the one I could afford, the body, he's like, you know, you're better off with the Canon, you know, because you do have to step it up to the next one. But I tell you, a lot of these guys, they shoot a lot of the specialty shots with Sonys, and that's what they were saying. They're like, they're just like unbelievable. And they were talking to Jimmy about that, about the autofocus, and they're like, you know, they would never use autofocus before because it's too risky, you know. But they're like, this thing, they're like all the time, you know. It's
interesting.
Just so perfect, you know?
That's what I'm finding with mine, because lately I've been using autofocus on my Canon with my Canon lenses, the STM lenses. And my last two videos, I had shots that were out of focus that, like, you know, you can't go back. But before that, I literally never turned my cameras off of manual focus. And I would just, you know, basically zoom in on a point and focus it and then hope that I was kind of like in that frame. And I had good luck for the last, I've been making videos for 4 years, and I've had pretty good luck with focus. It was never like super super crisp, but it was like good enough. But now that I'm realizing that like the autofocus isn't reliable. If you have a filmer, you're fine, you know. But if you don't, and you're just relying on you know, if you're just reliant on your camera doing the job for you, it's like, I don't know, it was too annoying. that's why I've been thinking about making the move. But, you know, like I said, it's the body is $3,500, and then each lens is like, you know, usually like $2,000-ish. So by the time you're done, and there's no value in the camera that I have now, you know, it's like, I think I have a Canon 70D. The body's probably worth like $300.
Yeah, the bodies are worth nothing after you buy them.
It's like
the lenses hold the value.
I mean, and I have a bunch of Canon lenses, and they are like those adapters, but I think the speed and the autofocus is in both the lens and the body. So it's like, I don't even think I would bring those Canon lenses onto the Sony body. I think you just basically start over.
Yeah, you got to get new lenses. Yeah. So that's why I didn't switch, because if I didn't have like nice L lenses, I would have just completely went to the Sony.
But I'm like, and I have a couple L lenses too that I would like, I guess, sell. You know, because the L lenses are worth money. Like, I have a Whitey, you know, like the big 70 to 200.
Yeah, I have one of those too. I think I have a 100 to 400.
Yeah, I mean, there's, those are always going to be worth value, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, the Sony lens, the 16 to 35, is $1,700. It's like, ugh.
Wow, yeah.
To spend like $5,000 on a new camera when, like, it's kind of doing what it needs to do now, you know?
To get those Amazon links going, that Anvil.
Dude, I know.
To get that Sony.
Hey, listen.
Buy those Anvils, guys.
Buy Anvils. If you're looking for a 132-pound Anvil shipped directly to your door for $300, I'm about to have a link.
You covered.
I'm about to have a link. Get you set up. I got another new tool. That I'm not gonna say what it is, but I'm gonna get it and I'll show you guys. This will be a nod to the Fitzall podcast. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
What do you think it is?
I don't know. I just feel bad that he's not gonna talk.
I know. Everyone's gonna be upset.
Yeah, that's not fair. Maybe we just splurted it out.
Yeah.
Let's see.
The hell is that?
I don't know.
All right.
I think I saw something.
Guess what it is?
I thought I saw something too, but I'm not sure.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, boy. That's a tool.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's pretty nice, though. I got two of them. It's lacrosse sticks.
His and hers?
I got two lacrosse sticks. Yeah, one's for Angela, right?
Yeah.
One's for Angela, and one's for me.
Nice. Take a nice old style photo together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Beautiful.
But,
a little pistol grip there. Nice.
Yeah, pistol grip lacrosse stick.
That's
going to
go well.
Yeah.
You know.
I think I remember when we were at Derek's house, Chris picked up Derek's lacrosse stick and started pointing it around the room, you know.
I don't remember that happening.
I think it did.
That did not happen.
Me and Derek looked at each other, we're like, okay.
I wouldn't do that. Unless I knew it was clear and empty, I wouldn't do that.
Unless there's a ball in there. You got to be very careful.
Jesus Christ.
If it was clear and empty, I'm usually
Derek puts it down on the table. Chris goes, "Oh, look at this thing," and we're like, "Oh,
whoa,
shit! Well, you easy with that."
Hey, listen.
Hey ho!
You know, it's like a
dude, you don't want to shoot the cat with that thing.
Hey, get off the TV, Stewie.
Yeah,
Stewie, stop touching that. Oh my God!
Hey, sick bastards.
Yeah. So what's next for you, Paul? Other than your door?
A couple different jobs that we got coming up. Eventually I'm gonna have to build a crane.
Are you buying a crane or are you gonna build your own? Like,
I'm buying a hoist. You you can have a crane company come do literally the entire thing, but it would be like probably like $50,000 or something. So you can buy a hoist and you could buy like the end truck things.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the rest of it you can just build yourself. I mean, it's just an I-beam going across and all the tracks and stuff you can build. So,
is that so you can install the door? Or?
Yeah, I'm gonna need a crane for this door. It's so heavy.
Yeah.
Nice. I gotta have Louis take his big forklift and lift it into place because it's in front of like the door where the door is. It's not paved, and mine will get stuck in about 2 seconds.
Mm.
So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Just use your engine crane, dude.
Yeah, I'd rather kill myself.
I was actually talking to Matt about the gantry crane thing, and he was saying I think they have two 10-ton cranes maybe at his shop.
Yeah.
And they'll sometimes when they have they'll have a bundle of beams, they'll hook they'll grab each side of it with one crane. So they'll have two cranes, like one on each side. And he's like, dude, it's terrifying. He's like, because you're carrying, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of pounds, and if something goes wrong, like,
oh yeah,
you're done. Like, I mean, and there are so many components that can fail. You know, it's like you've got chains and you've got hooks and you've got whatever's keeping the beams together. You've got the infrastructure over your head. You know, like it's you get desensitized to it, but it's like on a forklift, it's. I don't know. I feel like it seems controlled, right? You've got the mast, and you know if the hydraulic fails and you're out of the way, like the forklift's not just going to randomly tip over, you know?
It could.
It could.
It could if you hit the brakes. Well, let's say you're picking up something that's too heavy and you hit the brakes a little bit. Or see, I think the way to look at it is with a forklift, things could go wrong more, but with a crane, things could go wrong a lot worse. If you know what I'm saying, like with a forklift, like if you're carrying a beam around, it's like it'll fall off and hit the ground. It could be kind of bad, but if something goes wrong with a crane, it's going to be like catastrophic. Like a crane's just not going to fail. Like, forklifts are sketchy. Like try picking up a 40-foot beam with a forklift, and you got 20 feet sticking out each way. And if it's a little bit off balance, then you got to pick it back up. It's or you hit something, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's always safer to lift things with a strap or a chain. To me, I like lifting things with some type of a sling a lot better than picking up something up from underneath. Yeah. I just feel more comfortable that way.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you've seen those videos. There was just one on Instagram the other day of a guy. He bought like one of those like what are those things called? Like the not kind of like what Jimmy has, the Polaris, but like the ones that are made to like go
like the RZRs. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, I saw that video, I think.
Yeah, for some reason, dude, they were unloading it from the car carrier.
It didn't even make sense.
And they lost the forklift and the car. They tipped the whole thing over on its side.
Yeah, like the
and they looked like they were on like a residential street.
It was so stupid.
Yeah,
it's like why didn't they just
another forklift
lower the car carrier? You know, and drive it off like the way they got it on. It was so weird.
Right? It was, I think, the way it looked like was that they didn't want to unload all the other
big mistake things,
you know? So, like, instead of unloading all the other items, they, you know, destroyed the equipment.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, see, that's the thing about forklifts is you can tip them over. And, like, when I unloaded my scissor lift with my forklift.
Yeah, that might have
been. And that was at the old shop. It was way over the capacity, and the thing was the way the fork pockets are on the scissor lift, they're long ways, and it was on the truck, like long ways. So when
how
I went up to
the
side
truck
with a bigger forklift,
big forklift,
yeah. So they just picked it up, and you know I'm trying to explain this. Like if you were at the side of the truck with your forklift, the thing is, you know, long ways front to back, like, and so it was way too heavy, and the back wheels like came up a little bit, and I literally ratchet strapped from the far side of the scissor lift up over the top of the forklift guard, picked it up an inch, backed up and dropped it way down to the point where it was like basically dragging on the ground, and then I just unloaded it and moved it and put it into the shop, like. I don't know. It's the forks breaking.
You ever see the video of Chris Cash unloading their Anyang from
the
truck?
They have a bunch of shit hanging off the back of the forklift,
dude,
right?
He has a basket welded to the back of his forklift.
With like anvils
filled with
in
anvils.
It?
Yeah. And he's still,
that's
like, because that Anyang he got weighs like 7,000 pounds, the big Anyang.
Wow.
Right?
That's
a lot.
It's got to be.
It's a big ass hammer, and I mean, like, I don't know, like those things look, they definitely look heavy, but I guess they don't. I don't know. I never thought they were that heavy, you know? Yeah, 6,000 pounds.
That's a lot of
weight.
And
then
It's got a big footprint too.
Yeah, they're big. They're big as shit. That's without the motor too, because the motor on that has to be mounted on the floor. But yeah, so I remember watching that video and just thinking it was so funny.
Like, the worst are lulls. Like, even in the little 5,000-pound lull I was in, same one they had up at Jimmy's that Aaron, safety officer, was driving. And I tipped that thing, like, not when the load was up high, but I had, like, a load of tables on it, like the big ones, and I extended the boom out because it was getting stuck every 5 minutes. And I felt the back wheels went right up in the air, and it dropped, you know, like 5 inches to the sand. Nothing happened, but, you know, those things are really dangerous because even the big ones, you know, they have lulls. I got to tell you another thing about lulls, but the big ones, you know, go 52 feet, some of them, like a 10,000-pound lull. That's high. And if you lift up something that's a little too heavy and you extend it out a little bit too far and it goes, you're not saving that. Like, that thing's just going to tip right over.
Did yours have the little, like, tip monitor? Like, because I know there's one that I drove. It was a nice JLG on a job site, and inside it, it had, like, the, like,
no, this didn't have that.
Like, it had this, like, chart almost where, like, as you raise the boom, there was, like, a little, like, gauge, and, like, there'd be, like, a little needle that went up, and then it would, like, kind of show your capacity.
Yeah.
Certain angles and shit. And, like, I mean, we were moving. It was all, like, framing material. But a full-size, like, bundle of, like, 2x6x12s, a full pallet, has to be pretty heavy.
Oh,
It's not steel, obviously, but it's pretty heavy. And I don't know that we ever, like, really felt like it was going to move. The other thing that they were moving a ton with this was they were moving pallets of granite. Like, like bushels almost. Like,
I don't know,
not like the baskets like Andrew gets, but like a wooden, like, crate. I think the granite was coming from India. And they were moving those around, but this was a huge lull. I mean, this thing was like the tires. 12,000-pound
lull?
Yeah, I mean, like, figure the tires were like probably 5 feet tall, like each wheel.
Oh, wow.
Like,
it
was a big ass machine. So maybe that was like one of the bigger sizes, but, I remember the guy that owned it, he had license plates for it in case he wanted to move it.
Oh, my God, really?
You could get farm equipment license plates for it and drive it on the road.
Wow.
Because it was so big, to get it on a trailer, you needed like a really big trailer. So it was so expensive to move. Yeah, he
probably needed an oversized load.
Yeah, he would try to drive it anytime he could, but he said that when you drove it, because it was so heavy, that you would do so much damage to the tires driving it on pavement.
Yeah.
That it was like kind of like damned both ways. You know, it was like if you drove it, you were going to wear out your tires, and the tires were super expensive. And if you had it towed, you had to pay to have it towed, and then you're at the mercy of, you know, like a lowboy to come and get it, and, you know, all that. It's like, oh, it just seems like such a pain in the ass. You know, you'd almost rather just like rent one for the month, you know.
Yeah.
Have somebody drive, you know, have them
drive one that big,
pay that fee, you know.
Yeah. If you got to get one that big, I mean, where it's, you know, really hard to move, it might make sense just to rent it when you need it. But it is good to have one. Like, if I could find one, I'd like to buy one. But one time, me and my father were driving through Stanford, and we passed by a construction site, and they had a lull that, like, really wasn't a lull, but technically it was. It was a full-blown crane.
Oh, yeah.
Like, huge. And it would pivot. Like, that's the problem with lulls. Like, you have to use the wheels to move. Like, let's say you had to move your load side to side and you had, like, something hanging from the forks. You got to, like, move the whole thing. This thing pivoted like a crane or like an excavator. It had four tires, but it had these huge stabilizers. And I looked up the company. I think they sell one that goes, like, over 100 feet. And they sell a winch for it like a crane. And I'm wondering, like, is this like a loophole so you don't need to have like a crane license or something? Like, I think that might be what it was.
Dude, what I just found? This is like the coolest thing. Have you ever heard of a spider crane?
Oh, dude, those are amazing.
Dude, unreal.
Those are crazy.
I don't know if you've ever seen these things. It's like a little, it looks like a tank. It's a self-contained crane where all the legs fold up and they bring them in like little trailers. And it's got little tank treads on the bottom, and you can, like, deploy them. Like, I saw a video, this rigging company popped up on Instagram, and they had an ad how they own a spider crane, and that's, like, one of the things that they use. So, like, Spider Crane makes a machine that can lift 25 feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it weighs 4,300 pounds and can lift 6,000 pounds at 5 feet. So, obviously, it can't lift, like, a like a large load at that full weight, but you can still lift like, you know, thousands of pounds up to 25 feet high with this tiny little crane that only
they go
weighs
right through doors.
Pounds. Yeah, they bring them into buildings. They put
yeah,
them on,
inside. Yeah,
yeah. They crane them up onto like higher floors on buildings and bring them inside. And I was looking them up last night because I was like, I wonder how much they are, just like to get an idea. And like, I saw used ones for like $40,000.
Oh yeah, they're not cheap.
It does, but that's not cheap. But the versatility of it is like that doesn't seem like that much money. You know, like for what you could do with it if you were like a company that used that kind
of
thing.
It's kind of a niche thing though. Like you're only going to use it every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Like, but.
And it is a crane, so you have to rig. It's not like a forklift where you can put, you know, you can pick up from the bottom. You have to be able to pick up from the top, which kind of like doesn't work in every situation.
When you need it, you need it. Like you have no choice but to use like one of these things. This guy, his Instagram is. How the hell do you say this? Bezates? Something, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's his last name, I think. Nick Bezates Construction. He's like a Miller product development. He works with Miller welders, and he's like a legit welder. He kind of does like a bunch of different stuff. Like he's got like looks like a service truck.
How do you spell his thing?
Bezatesn.
Say that again.
Bez.
B-E-Z.
A-T.
A-T.
E-S-N.
I got him.
But, like, he does some serious welding. Like, he's always welding, like, some type of, like, these pipes. But they're not, like, pipelines. Like, I don't know if they're for water or something. Like, he does repairs and stuff. Hmm. He definitely knows his shit. But he has a spider crane that he owns, I think.
Yeah. I mean, dude, even just for, as a service provider, like, if you're able to, like, own it and, like, say, hey, I'll bring the, you know, I'll bring the bring the spider crane out, you know, you can charge, I'm sure he can charge whatever the fuck he wants.
It's a, and like, probably not very common.
And if you get, like, $1,000 or $1,500 a day and it's a $50,000 machine, it doesn't take that long to make back that, you know, that money. Or maybe, I mean, if you buy it brand new, I'm sure it's more than $50,000. But I feel like if you have the clientele for that kind of work, you know, you can justify a machine like that. You know what I mean? It's no different than I was saying, my buddy who's an electrician, they spent $68,000 on a Bobcat.
That still confuses me a little bit.
Yeah, I know. And he uses it to, like, build ramps in his backyard. But, I mean, that's, you know, do whatever you want with it, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that's helping his electrical business much, but it definitely is fun and nice to have.
Yeah, I'm looking at this guy's thing. He's bringing in he's got one post on here where he's picking up another spider crane with his spider crane.
Wait, what? Yeah, I didn't see that one.
He's working in what looks like a gymnasium at like a school.
Whoa.
And he's got a smaller spider crane that he's picking up with his larger spider crane.
That's crazy.
What's his Instagram?
Bezates, Bezates. Yeah, it looks like he's working in a school gymnasium, and for some reason he's got two little cranes there.
Whoa.
I don't know. They're pretty cool. It's a pretty interesting thing. Oh, dude, this the one he's got is big. He's picking up a full blown scissor lift with his.
No, that's not. Holy no, shit. I'm looking at that picture now. He's got the smaller one. He owns the smaller one.
Oh, okay.
He rented the bigger one. That one's big.
Got it.
That's actually
send
really
me his
big.
Thing. Send me his thing.
I'll send it to you. Holy shit.
Yeah, that's cool. Spider crane.
Yeah, this guy's cool.
Does anybody listen to this anymore?
I don't know.
I want a spider crane. Dude, I like this, too.
One dude, I bet China makes a fake one you could buy.
He's got a spider crane attachment, which is a man bucket on the end of his
spider
crane.
Oh, no way.
That's cool. I like that.
These are cool,
he
actually.
He uses it at his house. He's like, drove the crane across the lawn to fix the flagpole. Like,
oh, my God. These are cool. I want one of these now.
Right by where I work, Shaughnessy Crane, they have a tiny little one. It's called the Alley Cat. It's like one of the real big-ass cranes.
Yeah.
It's just tiny. It's for like all the back alleys in Boston.
Oh,
it's
wow.
So it's probably very similar to this.
Yeah, oh, wait.
And they must charge a fortune for it because, like, it's so specialized, you know?
I was watching videos on This, I guess this could be one of my videos. I've been watching lots of videos like heavy equipment, and I was watching a video on like the world's largest crawler cranes. So these aren't ones that are like the tower cranes that they build like and attach to a building. These have like tracks.
Yeah.
These cranes were so massive. They lifted like 500 or 600 feet in the air. They were lifting like 150 150. Was it 150 tons or 150,000? No, no, it was 150 tons.
Did you ever see the biggest crane? It's like a museum. It's sitting somewhere. It was like a not
what
a crane.
Is it?
It was like one of those steam shovel things there.
Oh, those!
It's like the, it's
dude,
like
it
the
looks like a skyscraper.
It's like a museum. It's like a museum. This one, like they took one and they rehabbed it and they shut it down. It was like they used it for like 10 years. But like the electricity this thing used, it was ridiculous. It was like had its own little power station inside it. The guys had an elevator in it to go up and down. Things unbelievable. I forget where it is. Somebody sent it to me, a link to it.
Okay, this thing, it wasn't 150. It was 1,200 tons.
Wow.
These things are so big, they have their own tracks. But then behind it, the counterweight has its completely own set of tracks with a cab that you have to drive them in. So you have to drive these two. They're connected. It's like two. Oh, think of two excavators. Like if you had a big excavator and a mini excavator connected with like a big, huge steel structure, and then cables that go up from the little one up to the top of the big one to support the whole thing. And they drive it around, and that's the counterweight because these cranes are so massive. Like
that
they lifted,
has to be built like on site. Like,
yeah, they must need. They need. Listen, I was watching them do it in the video. They had a medium-sized crane that needed to be built by a tiny crane, and the medium-sized crane was used to build this big crane. So when you want to move something, you need to rent like five cranes to even put together the big crane to move your thing. It's insane.
Send the video that you.
Oh yeah, let me send it to you.
That's like that video, the Iron Giants, and I've talked about it on here before about the presses, the like the world's largest presses that they had during World War II.
Oh yeah, that was a good video.
That's a fantastic video. It's like I think it went. It's got 2.5 million views. It's on Machine Thinking's YouTube. It talks about like the 150 ton press that they had built or that they had designed in Germany, but they never. That they never actually made.
It's got to be 150,000 tons.
Maybe that's what it is.
Because my press is 30 tons. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It must have been 150,000 tons. Or so there's a 50,000 ton one, and then there's a 150,000 ton one. Crazy.
What were you saying they were doing? They were stamping out, like, full airplanes?
So they were – what it was that the – the Americans couldn't figure out how the Germans were able to build their planes so fast because they had choked off their supply of steel. But what they were doing was they were doing full cast magnesium fuselages with these 50,000 ton presses.
Wow.
And they like, but they developed this all in secret. And then they were shooting these planes out of the sky and then finding the fuselages and being like, how the fuck did they make this?
Wow.
You know, like not understanding how it could have even been possible for them to build this because the technology just didn't exist. And then, of course, when the Germans lost the war, the Americans just took them. They took the presses. They, like, confiscated them and brought them back to America because they were like, you're never going to be able to build that kind of shit again. Like,
we took all their shit, and we took all their people, all the Nazi-like scientists, and that's what was, like, the beginning of NASA.
Yeah.
It was, like, Wernher von Braun or something was, like, the main guy, and he was like, their rocket scientist, and we took him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But isn't it weird, though? Like Germany and Japan, or you know, on the same side in World War II, you know, the bad guys or whatever. Obviously, they were the bad guys, but like they're so good at engineering. Both those countries, like all the stuff they make is engineered so well.
Yeah,
it really is interesting. Then you go over to Italy; they make beautiful cars, but they're not engineered that good because these Ferraris are always breaking down. But if you get yourself a Porsche,
you gotta watch this. You gotta
that thing
watch
ain't gonna break
about
down.
The tanks. There's a video about the tanks. It was one of my picks of the week, but it talked about the difference between the American tanks, the German tanks, and the Russian tanks. And all the Russian tanks were like just slapped
just
together.
Just like a jalopy, like, yeah.
Just totally. And like one of the things that I thought was so interesting was like there was like a pin on the track, and the pin over time would work its way out.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of like, and I guess these pins need to be removable in case the track breaks in the field. But instead of devising like a way to fasten the pin, the Russians had this plate that as the track rotated around and the pin started to walk its way out,
the plate
would smash the pin back
in. Oh my God.
So it was like,
they were just hammering the pin back in.
Exactly. The tolerance on the turret was like garbage on the, like the Russian tanks, they had like, you know, a huge amount of them, but they were built like total garbage. You know, the American tanks, some of them were terrible, and then like the German tanks were unbelievable. You know, like the German Tiger tanks,
The Panzer, whatever it was called.
Yeah, those tanks were unbelievable and like just a you know, marvel. And all this shit was developed, you know, obviously in secret, and like, and then the Americans would, you know, I mean, every country was doing this, but the Americans had to develop tanks, design them, build them, send them to Germany for the war, send them to Europe for the war, and then figure out parts of them that were fucked up, somehow get that information back to America, change the design, fix it, make new tanks, and then ship them, you know, because it wasn't like fast, you know, to get a ship across the ocean, especially because the tanks were probably made in the middle of the country. You know, it's like, I don't know, it's just, it's so insane to think about what went into the World War II effort, you know?
Listen to this World War II thing I just saw on TikTok the other day. I got a World War II World War One
on TikTok.
On TikTok, there was a
What kind of knowledge are you getting?
There was
from TikTok?
This is heavy duty knowledge. There was a British soldier. He was like one of the most highly decorated soldiers in World War One, and when he was in battle, I guess he saw someone coming towards him in the distance who looked wounded, and then as the guy got closer, he realized it was a German soldier. And he realized he was wounded and he didn't have a weapon, and he went to go shoot him, but something, you know, he just couldn't get himself to shoot this poor guy because the guy knew he was done. And so he let him go and told him to go back and just, he wasn't going to kill him. Guess who that soldier turned out to be?
Who was it?
Hitler.
Really?
That's what I was told from TikTok. May or may not be true. Could definitely be false. The comments said it was a true story. I went and verified down in the comment section.
I was going to say that you get a second source of
my second source is where
your
the comments
source is
they
in
were,
the comments. That's
they
where
were
you,
saying
that
was true. You know
what kind of TikTok videos are you watching?
Dude, I get all sorts of interesting stuff on TikTok.
Yeah, you get the TikTok just, leggings, and then like a little bit of post 1920 science.
Look at this, dude. This is my TikTok. First thing I open up. Oh, my camera's off. Nice focaccia bread they're making. Oh, this looks beautiful. Look at this. What else?
Gosh, you're on fucking TikTok.
I love TikTok. It's one of my favorites.
I wish TikTok would go the way of fucking Clubhouse.
Clubhouse is still there.
Dude, Clubhouse is...
What about Dogecoin? You know, Dogecoin.
I open up TikTok and this is what I get.
What the hell? Yeah, but you don't. You.
Oh my God!
Oh my God!
I
love that when they do the rubber bands on the watermelon. Look at this guy.
Dude, that guy's famous.
Derek, this is quality content.
He wears the swimming goggles.
Listen to this. So we were just talking about rubber bands on watermelons on Friday.
Yeah, and they was listening.
Oh my God.
So what's your pick of the week, Derek?
TikTok. That's my pick. Straight up TikTok.
It's just TikTok in general.
Yeah,
just download
TikTok in general. Yeah.
That's
just download TikTok and just go on. Let me see if I watched anything. I don't even know if I opened up YouTube this week. Let me see. Oh, God. I am not recommending that.
Oh,
dumb,
no, definitely
dumb,
not.
Dumb,
no.
And dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, no, they're not Let's getting see, recommended. They're never getting a shout
no,
out on
Dumber.
This.
Oh,
and
I think
and
I know
no
what you're
one,
talking about.
No one will be able to guess who we're talking about,
right.
But you can try. But they're never getting a shout out.
The after show, they'll find out.
Yeah, if you join the after show, you could find out.
Has anybody been on Clubhouse lately?
No.
No.
I haven't been on since I think the last time I was on was when I was with you guys that one time.
I turned off my notifications and I haven't been back on it. But
I haven't watched anything.
My pick of the week is Bobby Duke's new video where he used Paul's little anvil and hammer. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, I just saw the thumbnail. I got to go watch it now.
Today.
When he made a little claw hammer?
He made a tiny little claw hammer out of a bolt.
Jesus
and
Christ.
And it's like spectacular. He made like a whole mini workshop. He made a tiny little paint, a tiny little screwdriver. And then at the end, he's been like doing like little giveaways and shit. He was giving away all the stuff he made, but he used his like flex shaft as a lathe to make a tiny screwdriver and then painted it. It's just like hysterical.
He must have changed the thumbnail.
Why? What was it?
It was a picture of the bolt. When I saw it like 2 hours ago, it was a picture of the bolt with the hammer attached to it, like still connected by the head of the hammer.
Oh, yeah,
and now it's the bolt in one hand and the hammer in the other.
That's how he did it, though. He like sculpted the hammer and then he cuts it off the bolt. But he like forges out the bolt a little bit and he uses your little hammer and
I gotta
watch
it now.
How do you know if it's the thumbnail's doing bad or not? Like,
I don't know. I've changed.
He might have somebody that helps him with it, you know, because his channel is so big. But I don't know. I don't know what would prompt me to change it, you know? Right? Like, what would make you think, like, oh, I should change this thumbnail?
Yeah.
Especially his videos, because I feel like his videos always do well. You know, so like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. He didn't get a million views the first 2 hours.
Yeah, honestly, it only has 150,000 views today, which I feel like for him probably isn't that good. You know, like I feel like he probably like normally gets more views in a day.
Yeah.
Can we get Bobby a Mr. Volcano or something,
dude? I know
because
right?
He's out here with two map gas torches.
No, he does have a forge at some point.
Yeah.
No, they're powering the forge.
Oh, that's what he's using to power the forge?
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, it's getting pretty hot in there. I'm surprised.
Yeah, he doesn't need it. He's good. He can do anything with it.
I guess he definitely, yeah, that's true. What am I saying?
Oh, yeah, he's got the
soup can. He clearly
knows
what he's doing.
He's got the soup can.
He's doing something right.
I'm going to second Bobby Duke.
All right, Bobby Duke is our guy. Bobby Duke, Bobby Duke's little hammer. I think that's it for this week's episode. I mean, you know.
Sorry, it was a very low energy one. But
we're all exhausted. Life is hard.
I just got in from a long drive in from Boston, and I'm tired. Sorry.
I talked about this on my Instagram, and I know I've mentioned it to you guys, but it's official. June 26th at Make Everything Shop.
Okay.
We're having a little open house.
You're having a
okay.
Oh, here. This is a crazy thing I saw. Another thing from TikTok. Which made me think when you just said you're having a little party, a little open house. This kid, right, high school kid, I think his name was like Adrian, posted, "I'm having a kickback." I guess that's a new term.
Oh, yeah.
New term
Twice.
The kids are using, right?
Yeah.
Kickback when you're having a little party, we're kicking back at the beach. We're gonna have a Make Everything Shop kickback. But anyway, this kid posts just to his friends on TikTok.
Yeah,
"I'm having a kickback for my birthday at the beach in Huntington Beach. Everyone come." It turns into like 100,000 kids showed up, and they like burned Huntington Beach to the ground. It was like insane. They're flipping over cars.
Scary.
It turned somehow, because the way the internet is so crazy,
it
just gained traction, and it became like a joke.
Yeah.
And every like a million people showed up to this.
Like
it's a random kid.
Like a nobody. Yeah,
it could be like Max's
nobody.
Friend.
I've seen that story. Yeah. I seen that story.
And the kid's
like,
"I don't even know what happened."
Like they were like doing like the like back like trying to analyze how it happened, and like somebody retweeted it or some bullshit or did it something with it, reposted it, and it just blew up. That's scary.
It's unreal.
That happened,
dude. Happened.
Shit.
I remember when I was in high school or maybe in the beginning of college. That happened with somebody. They posted a party on their Facebook and it went viral, and then. They realized that, you know, whenever it was going to be, too many people were going to come, and they tried to stop it. They tried to, like, say, don't come, and still thousands of people came.
Dude, I remember that used to be on the news all the time. I guarantee you that happens so much now, it's not even on the news
anymore.
God. Because I'm sure it happens all the time.
Adrian's kickback. There's a video on YouTube. Adrian's kickback aftermath in Huntington Beach. 150 people arrested.
Yeah, Barstool Sports did a whole thing about it.
I love Holy Barstool.
Shit, this is unbelievable.
I know.
This definitely won't be happening at my shop. Yeah. I guarantee.
I don't know, dude. I know a couple people.
Everybody post it to TikTok. Everybody post it.
Chris.
Please, God, no.
Jimmy posts it. We got a bunch of overweight guys with beards.
Yeah, it's all right. I got my new lacrosse.
I have a bunch of overweight guys with ice picks sticking out of their pockets.
Yeah. Yeah, I have my new lacrosse sticks to defend the shop.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Wow.
Some rock salt. All right, well, thanks, everybody, for listening. It's been a great year of the Handmade Podcast. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/handmadepodcast, I think. patreon.com/DerekFromAlden, patreon.com/makeeverythingshop. You're all the best. We love you.
Goodbye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards. Save-